Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome in. Thanks for watching, as always, on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates across the country. We'll get into the big news today in the National Football League. Another coach fired. More trends for the college football national title game. And here's some look-ahead numbers in the National Football League for Championship Sunday. Still a 5.5 out there, by the way, on New England at Denver. Some books opened up 6 last night.
What do you think?
I think 6 is ridiculous.
What do you expect out of Stidham?
I expect this to be a defensive game where they have to melt clock, not have him do a ton of... but here's the thing. Peyton really likes the guy.
Oh, I know.
They gave him a lot of money. He's one of the highest paid backups in the entire league.
Yeah.
Belichick drafted him.
Calling him Stiddy, like they're best friends.
Sure. So maybe he can actually pass a little bit here, but I think the defense is going to play out of their minds.
He had one good game with the Raiders, and he started 4 games, and he's 1-3. And he hasn't thrown a pass in 3 years. Can they run the ball? That's another one. I don't know. I don't think so.
That's going to be an issue.
Not the way the Raiders' Patriots' defense has been playing in these playoffs, with the Ice Cube Williams in there. The guy's been phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And you hope to have Dobbins back, but I also don't know who I'm going to have with the wide receivers. We're looking for a Franklin and a Bryant update as well. But it's a tough assignment for him with only 6 days to get ready. And they're the largest home dog in a title game since 1968.
This is from a longtime odds maker here in Las Vegas. He actually bet the Broncos +6 because the highest that they were on the game was 4.5. And he said to me, he thinks they're going to get just an incredible effort out of everybody else on the team. And he thinks they can win the game outright. They also had a sharp group play Denver +5. Sharp group took the Rams at +2.5, even money. Early on, so you're going to have a battle back and forth all week long between sharp money and where this stuff is going to probably go. But
how about Drake May's performance so far? Up and down, turning the ball over.
He is very fortunate to recover those. They could have easily lost those fumbles yesterday. The 2 other fumbles, by the way. He wasn't great, but also the Texans' defense is just
nasty.
They're otherworldly, man.
They did an incredible job.
Yeah, they did. What do you think about the Patriots overall? I'll tell you this, the fan base, they're not fans of me on X. I said after the Chargers win, I can't wait till this team gets their asses kicked by a real team. The problem is, how many real teams are there? Not going to play one.
No.
Not going to play one. Until maybe the Super Bowl.
Well, there's a great chance, though. It's Seattle, and they're compromised. I mean, the winner of the NFC title game probably has a massive injury again, the way this is trending. Right? You play the Chargers, the whole O-line's down.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of injuries. You play Houston, their best player gets hurt. You play Denver, they lose their quarterback. You got to go Stidham.
And now
Charbonnet's out for the year. Hard knows, he's torn ACL. Darnold's playing hurt. Something's going
to
happen.
And we have
what do you think about a Drew? I'll ask Derek Stevens tomorrow. Well, there's no such thing as a bad Super Bowl. What if it's Drew Locke against Stidham in the Super Bowl?
God,
that's in play now.
Yeah, no, it is. Well, the Darnold thing, I mean, now, is he going to have to make more plays against the Rams? Because he didn't have to do anything in that game. Again, that game was over within the first quarter for the most part.
Yeah, we don't know how hurt he is because he didn't have to do anything.
Uh-huh.
Threw for 120 yards, and they're gashing him on the ground. And every short field and the kickoff return.
In Toradol, we trust.
Yes. I can't believe Shanahan said that.
I've had Toradol once in my life. Never worked. I've told the story before.
Is that right?
I had it when I had the kidney stone.
Oh, Pritchard raves about it.
But before game day. This will tell you how painful kidney stones are.
They gave you Toradol?
Oh, didn't even. I said, come on, are you joking?
Really?
I said, I'm in pain. I'm laughing at that. I can eat that for breakfast.
Really?
They shot me up. This is how bad a kidney stone is. And Mike Pritchard he's had bone on bone in his knee forever. So you can imagine how painful that is. Yeah. They gave me a huge vial of morphine, and Toradol. And I was mocking them. I'm like, guys, come on. I feel like I'm getting stabbed in the stomach right now. Then they doubled up the amount of morphine. I was like, okay, now I'm feeling good. That's the only thing that helped.
Who are you, Maltasante? This kid likes his chemistry set a little too much.
Huge tolerance to Toradol, evidently. First time I've done it in my life. No impact. I'm like those guys that are huge that are all hopped up that they get tased by the police and you can't knock them down.
Yeah. Well, this happened to Shauna And it also happened to a friend of mine, too, where they surgery and they put you under. And it just, Sean is telling the story, and also my friend, where it's, okay, count back from 10. And then you're out by 5.
Oh, it's incredible.
I go, Shauna, what happens? She goes, I was listening to Rihanna, and they say go 5, 4, 3. And next thing I know, I wake up, and it's all done.
You've never had?
No, I've never been put under.
Oh, I've had several times.
Wow.
Two ankle surgeries, my neck problems. I've been under.
That was the option when I had the epidural. And I said, I don't want to put under.
I wish I could sleep like that every night.
Is it the same?
Because they say, okay, now we're going to start to do it. I'll start counting down.
Right out?
And you're like, I try to fight it every time. I'm like, okay, because there's a clock on the wall. I'm like, this is not going to.
Is that right?
Oh, every single time.
This is fascinating. I wanted the story. He's still hopped up on the morphine. I want to get the story, though, on how this is where you just. I heard one buddy told the story. He goes in and he does the countdown. He wakes up. He goes, are you guys going to start? When are we starting?
Yeah.
He goes, oh, we're done.
Uh-huh.
You go,
what? You're in an entirely different room.
Oh, wow.
They wake you up. You can hear your name all of a sudden. They're calling your name. And you snap out of it. You're like, I'm back here already? What happened? It's over with? Crazy.
Fast-acting pain relief inflammation control. Toradol.
Toradol. It was not fast-acting the time that I had it.
Give you the good stuff to Darnold. Yeah. But that's...
Well, that's also... We're talking about an NFL team here compared to me, some chump who's coming off the street says I got a kidney stone. So I don't know. Maybe are there different levels of it? Is it like marijuana? Yeah. I have no idea. Are there different strands of Toradol? Probably a dumb question. I have no idea.
I think this is even better, though, with the Stidham. And to answer your question, the Patriots are a good team. They have been hit with the deck with the schedule. I mean, just it's a fact. I like the Cousin Sal line that the MVP of the season's the Patriots schedule. It's just unbelievable what they haven't faced. But the defense has been great. May's had a good year. And they have an excellent coach. And I love the story of how from day one they practiced the kneel-down formation, mm-hmm. victory formation. But this now, where Denver, forget about it, doesn't have a chance. They're at home. They're 15-1 to win the Super Bowl.
That's crazy.
And then it also opens up the door, if they somehow do this, MVP and the other stuff. And just, it would be kooky if Seattle wins and something happens to them. If it's a Drew Lock Stidham Super Bowl or something like that.
Well, let me throw some potential numbers out there. These are bettable right now. FanDuel has them. I'm sure other books do as well. The Seahawks and the Broncos, the 2-1 seeds here. Have you seen these yet?
Nope.
Going in fresh?
I like to go in fresh.
FanDuel has 7.5. Seattle over Denver, total of 40.5. You got to take that over. There's an offshore book that has Seattle 9 in the game.
Pooh. Boy, that's tough for Stidham.
So think about this for a second.
This defense is so good right now.
I think this also tells you that the New England-Denver number is off this week because they have Seattle as a 3-point favorite over the Patriots. Offshore, they're 3.5. So how the hell did Denver open up a 6-point dog at home to New England, which would be then, what, 8 on a neutral minimum? And yet the Seahawks are 7.5 against the Broncos?
Mm-hmm.
Something's wrong there. Something's absolutely amiss.
10 of the last 13, they've held the opponent to 20 points or fewer. Second fewest points allowed. League low, 3.7 yards per carry. And the comeback's going to be, yeah, but Sam Darnold.
I know.
But what if he doesn't make a mess?
Right.
What if he's solid and it's lean on Walker? I wouldn't mind Walker MVP.
I bet him.
He's
going to
get so much carries, right? But because that was awesome how they won and JSN wasn't involved.
Mm-hmm.
And Kupp was also solid. But it also, you know, San Francisco helped them out with the turnovers. But with special teams and how strong they are defensively, if Darnold doesn't turn it over, they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, if Darnold's fine, I don't think the Rams are going to go there this weekend and win. And then they're going to be favored to win the Super Bowl.
I don't want to say it was a fluke because Stafford had an MVP season, but the Rams scoring 37 on that Thursday night game was like an out-of-body experience how well he played.
They had 581 yards of offense.
Yeah.
I mean, and they tried to set the tone early in that game. I remember, I'll go back and we'll track this throughout the week.
They ran it on him early.
Oh, they tried. They were making a point.
Yeah.
Like, we get it. All your numbers, DVOA, tough guys. You're the best in the league. Well, how does this taste in your face, right?
Yeah.
And they ran it effectively at him. So I don't know if he's going to come out like that again. He didn't against the Bears. So the Rams, by the way, at FanDuel, a higher favorite against the Broncos than Seattle. They're 8.5 right now against Denver in the Super Bowl. And they're 3.5 against the Patriots. Total there is 51.5. That would be a Rams-Patriots
round
super
three?
Exciting Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's a good Super Bowl.
Yeah.
A lot of storylines there.
Yeah, I'd take that for sure. as
Patriots Seattle rematch. That's another good one. I have no problem with that game. And there's a lot of fun storylines still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And you got, as I mentioned earlier, three teams that are 15-3, and then the team that everyone thinks is the best. Most people think is the best. I'm not there.
Yeah.
But they have issues, and I was surprised how well the defense played, but they got help by the Bears.
Well, we know of at least one book, the one we're broadcasting from, I believe, right? They're going to get mauled if Seattle wins the Super Bowl.
Yes.
On futures.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they're not the only book, because there were reports, I think BetMGM took some gigantic bets on the Seahawks way earlier in the year, I think probably in the offseason, to win everything. Division, make the playoffs, NFC, Super Bowl. That's going to be, it's not as high as Miami, the Hurricanes playing tonight. Well, but
this stuff is hard. You got to factor in the coach who's going to lose his mind. You have to factor in the quarterback that's going to implode. Teams beating themselves in the last two rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Josh Allen. That play before halftime is egregious. That's peewee football.
Yes, it is.
To fumble that and give points to Denver. It just, who would assume that before the game? But it also goes back to, like, Houston can still win that game. You got to pull the plug on Stroud.
Had to.
Mills is an accomplished veteran who held it down and is the reason you're in the playoffs and beat the Bills and beat Jacksonville.
I was so disappointed that Ryan did not make that move.
The guy refuses to take a sack and would rather just throw it up for grabs and panic.
Big news today in the NFL. We'll go over updated odds on the next head coach. How about a job this is for the Buffalo Bills here on Follow the Money.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
All right, how about this for a score here in the NBA on MLK Day? It's 72-45, final minute, second quarter. Mavericks are leading the Knicks.
This is an embarrassment.
It's a 30-point game. You can grab the Knicks plus 13.5.
Huh. The last TV timeout, the game was pick. What'd I say about Marshall? He's got 17 already. He's making it rain. Plus 25.
He's on a tear with all these other guys out.
Blake has 13. Absolutely. Megan Thee Stallion's got, Klay Thompson's been on fire, too.
Yep.
He's got three threes early. But this is just 72-45, and it's not even halftime. Come on, Knicks.
75-47 now.
Oh,
do you want to lay the 13.5 with Dallas or take the 13.5 with the Knicks?
Yeah, I think they roll over. Knicks... Mavs are getting whatever they want.
We saw that today in the Bucks-Hawks game. NBA teams make a run, obviously. The Hawks started 0 of 21 from 3, and they were getting crushed by Milwaukee. They came back, almost won the game.
Yep. Nice win for OKC. Boy, that exploded late.
Oh.
Condolences if you... What the hell happened?
It went over the total.
There were 70 points scored in the fourth quarter. You got to be bleeping me. 136-104 OKC. And the beat goes on for the Cavs. 17 losses all of last year. They're 24-20. OKC now back on a 70-win pace.
Yeah, they are, and they're playing really good basketball, despite losing one of their better players, Jalen Williams, the good Jalen Williams, going to be out multiple weeks.
Okay.
Some people were speculating maybe as high as six weeks for him.
All right. Well, I would have done the move after the squib kick nonsense. McDermott out. Now 10... as one NFL source said, the GM told Mike Florio, it's the worst collection of owners at any given time in history right now. And he questioned some of these moves and firings, but 10 people whacked?
10, that's a lot, Paul.
It is, no doubt.
Where are all these good candidates going to come
question.
From? And now, by the way, I love what other people are saying. The expectations have been destroyed by a couple of first-year coaches this year. Look at what Vrabel did with a second-year quarterback.
Yep.
Look at what Ben Johnson did. Everybody had major questions about Caleb Williams entering this year.
Yep.
Fixed by Ben Johnson.
Now, can Kubiak do that? He's 30% at Cal State to be the next Bills head coach. The rumors and word around the campfire has got to be offensive coach. Dable is 27. I would love a Flores-Dable 1-2 combo. Love it. And Flores is the coach. Dable is the OC. I don't know if that's going to happen.
How about you flip it, though? Go Dable head coach, Flores DC, where his only job is to straighten up the defense.
Okay.
Again, well, that was
as Charch said, Flores is a prickly pear yesterday. Great job by Charch. The props are phenomenal. But he's either love him or you hate him. And he can be difficult.
By the way,
I'm fine with that.
Some of these, I think it also reeks of how unattractive some of these other gigs are. Pete Carroll was fired 2 weeks ago last night. Immediately, the rumors out there, Tom Brady wants to put together and make it, you know, Flores and Dable. A lot of jobs have opened up since then. Like, just take care of it. Offer them more than what they're asking.
Hey, you got to keep doing this, Mark. Come on.
Because now look at some of these teams that are open. You think Baltimore's maybe a little bit more attractive than Las Vegas?
Yeah, no
You think
kidding.
The Bills maybe going into a new stadium with Josh Allen might be a little bit more attractive than the Raiders? It's not even close. And so now,
yeah.
I would say that that's got to be a long shot.
Well, I'm surprised Miami didn't go Harbaugh. And they couldn't get a different look at GM. Halfley takes the Miami job. Does Willis come with him? I don't know. Where does Tua go?
Oh, man.
I would have rather had Minter than Halfley. Minter is 60% to go to Baltimore.
Yeah, he's odds on right now to go to the Ravens.
Nagy 65% to go to Tennessee. Bieniemy is now the new OC in Kansas City. Welcome back.
Is that done?
Yes.
It's a done deal.
Well, Shula.
That's only a good news, by the way, for Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Yeah. Shula, 58% to go to the Steelers.
I can see that.
Okay.
That's who they are.
Kubiak, 26% to come here. Davis Webb, 14%. And a big move on Yudinski to take the Browns job.
Yeah, he's odds on too. Like all these guys, right? We have no idea. We have no idea if Jesse Minter, Clint Kubiak, other names that were floating around right now are going to be good ahead of NFL coaches or not. Yudinski, have no clue, right? Total wild card. But wouldn't you rather... It's a little bit tough, right? It's the pharmacist doctor thing from Curb Your Enthusiasm. Wouldn't you rather try out somebody in the right spot for the first time than go retread coach? How many times do these guys have to get a gig before we know?
Oh, yeah. You see it in the NBA all the time.
Constantly.
Yeah. Absolutely. Vance Joseph, 43% to go to Arizona.
Yeah, see, I'd punt on that. I would not.
Vance, tough call, tough game Saturday, my friend.
Yeah, I mean,
guys are wide open. Something that is not getting talked enough about in all this. You got to hit Knox for the touchdown, Allen.
Yeah.
He's wide open. You win the game. You got to make that throw.
That's a good point because I put that in my notes about how the shades, some of those plays in that game, shades of the early Josh Allen all over again where he was missing guys. The same like C.J. Stroud. How inaccurate was he yesterday?
Yep.
And lost out there. And Allen had a problem in that game. He was not overly accurate. And the guy that we've watched now play for so many years.
I can see why Pegula's pissed. You can't lose that game. And it keeps happening to this organization. And the stink. They got the Minnesota stink on them, too. Keep losing big games in the most painful way possible. And for this guy to get up there in age, and he doesn't have a trip to the Super Bowl, and you keep losing these games, outscored, key play here, with Knox with the drop last year, he misses him. Saturday, the silly turnovers. Come on.
Yeah, well, case in point, too. No, the Broncos, I think, gave up on the play. But how about the pass in the flat to Shakir?
Yeah, short-armed it.
He skipped it to him.
I know. Bad throw.
Come on, man. How do you do that?
You get the fumble. Offsides.
Yeah,
there
big,
so many
huge.
Things. The Allen fumble before halftime, right?
No, they absolutely shot themselves in the foot over and over and over again. So, there you go. It's on the head coach, and he's gone now today.
Mm-hmm. And Bills against the Patriots, round three, would have been sexy. Oh, that would have been good.
That would have been great.
Because that place was rocking. Great job by the New England fans yesterday. They were into it big time.
You know, I mean, I like it when guys that turn out to be as good as Josh Allen are, I like it when they actually get to a Super Bowl once. You know, can we see him make the big game?
Great. Come on. Bills in the Super Bowl? That'd be great. It's been too long.
Way too long. My God. But I don't want to have him go his entire career without actually playing it and get a taste of that.
What'd you think of that?
Agony and defeat, by the way.
So, what'd you think of that? Is that refreshing? Adam Morrison was mocked for weeks. Remember Gonzaga when they blew the game against UCLA? Yeah. Save it for the locker room. What's wrong with you? I mean, Allen lost it.
He wasn't the only one. So Brandon Cooks cried as well. That's the first one that I saw. I saw Cooks crying, and I was like, I honestly don't have a problem with it. Because Cooks, by the way, he just came onto the team a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, right.
Right, and he's he's like, it meant so much for me to be able to help out that guy.
You got to expand. You did a good job yesterday. Why'd you think the whole thing was egregious? What happened? Is it a catch? Is it? It's a tough call.
Oh,
but you can go back. Again, we're sitting here every week talking about what's a catch, what isn't. And going back to that Baltimore-Pittsburgh game, the first one, where they didn't rule an interception because they said Rodgers' knee was down and he still had part of the ball. But Baltimore ripped it away from him.
Mm-hmm.
So then here it's, the knee's down, he has the ball. And then he rolls over, and then it's an interception.
I thought it was one of the biggest disservices in a big game like that, spot like that, that I can ever remember in the NFL. I'll put it this way, to everybody that wasn't a Broncos fan or a player on that team, or if you bet everybody else, football fans in general, millions of people tuning in, that play to happen like that, bang, bang, and on the field, they made up their minds within 2 seconds, and there was no pushback. In fact, they agreed in the broadcast booth. They were moving that along at such a pace that it's like...
It's outrageous.
People actually responded saying, because the other game was going to be starting pretty soon, so they couldn't take their time. If that's actually what they were thinking, which I'm not going to buy into, then it's even worse than I thought originally. It's preposterous how that was handled on the field and in the broadcast booth.
That's why Terry McCauley is so good.
Yeah.
He comes right out. That's a bad call. That's roughing the passer on verse. They missed it. They hit Williams in the head.
Right.
And he was also on the Charger game when it happened to Herbert. But then you have this guy, I forget his name, with Aikman and Buck. And then you have Steratore. And it's just, they agree. Yeah, well, good call.
Every single time.
Yeah, that's right, guys. Yeah, no, it's not.
No.
Tell them they got it wrong. What's sticking up for them when they make a mistake?
How about you look at that? How about you look at it just for a little bit to see maybe if you were wrong in that assumption that it's Denver ball. There's no way you knew immediately what the hell the ruling on the field should have been. I just thought that we were all ripped off in that moment. And maybe they got it right. I don't know. I would say that like 95% of us have no idea if they got it right or not. But that's the problem, is that they just, it was a bang, bang decision. And for Steratore just to be like, yeah, come on, man.
I think it's an interception, but I also thought that was an interception in the first Baltimore-Pittsburgh game.
Yeah.
The guy took the ball from Rodgers. The play isn't over. But if you're going to say the play's over because his knee's down.
And here's another thing
I hated too. Then the play's over, it's Buffalo first down.
I hated the no PI on Cooks in the end zone, and then you come back twice late and hit Buffalo with defensive pass interference.
Yeah, didn't call it the whole game.
Come on!
Yep.
You can't possibly decide the game like that.
Yep. And the throw was on a broken ankle. That guy's a warrior.
Yeah. We're going to discuss the national title game coming up next. I'll tell you about the 15-5 ATS angle since 2017 going into this game. Coming up on Follow the Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
So, good tweet here from Adam Levitin, very good on fantasy football. He sent out a video earlier today about Jared Sittum's first start in the NFL. Week 17, 2022 season for the Raiders against the 49ers. Their defense was ranked third in yards per play allowed. He was 23 of 34, 365 yards and 3 touchdowns. Remember the game.
Well, they take a lot of them, and they give him a lot of money, as you said, but why is he a backup? Peyton won't shut up about him.
Mm.
Stiddy.
Well, I mean...
How he was coached in New England, but only 4 career starts.
Do you think Malik Willis should be a starter somewhere?
Yes.
Okay.
Based on some poor quarterback play.
Right. Yeah. Some guy, I don't know, maybe teams are unwilling to do that because he never did it the first time around in Tennessee, but it certainly looked like he has gotten a lot better with Green Bay.
Yep.
Time will come at some point.
Multiple people checking in. Toradol cannot touch kidney stones. Can't do it. The morphine. This was incredible after the game. Shanahan was asked about, did he expect Darnold to play?
Yeah, I mean, I know Sam with having the oblique stuff, but warm-ups are like that, but it takes a while for the Toradol to kick in, so we knew he'd be fine once kickoff came, which that doesn't really have to do with pressure and stuff. You know, that sometimes can affect how they throw, but usually when that Toradol kicks in, it doesn't. So Sam played really well today. But it was also just with the turnovers, the special teams touchdown. Us getting stopped on fourth and one twice, which is the same as a turnover. That would actually, I think, be five if you count those. And it was a whole team deal.
Yeah.
Brought it up multiple times.
Yep.
I don't think he was very happy after getting blasted like that.
The opening kickoff cannot happen. Just don't even give him a chance.
That's got to be one of the easiest kickoff returns for any player ever.
Eddie, do a better job with the trip, Eddie. If you're going to trip him. I mean, come on.
Boy.
And then he's right. The turnovers, the getting stopped fourth and one, and then that defense was phenomenal.
All right, let's go down memory lane here to remind the audience of recent national title games. Great numbers, Steve Mackinnon, vsin.com. And here at Circa now, for most of the day, Indiana at 7, minus 20 cents. Paul, Big Ten teams are 16-4 straight up, 15-5 ATS against the ACC in bowl/playoff games going back to 2017. Does it mean anything for this game tonight?
No.
I don't think so either. Big Ten teams, 47-14 straight up, 42-18-1 ATS is a bowl favorite of 2 points or more going back to 2007. Favorites have won six straight title games, straight up in ATS. That's after they lost six straight ATS. There was a stretch of six straight underdogs covering in the national title game from 2014 to 2019. But they flipped.
Mm-hmm.
Average margin of victory in that span, 25 points per game.
Dr. Gebhardt checking in at 60-40 Indiana fans, in his opinion.
So what does that do for home field?
I still think it matters, and it's big. And Cignetti, I agree with Cignetti. It's what he said earlier. I'm not playing on my home field. Now, who's rooting for who and how many Indiana fans are there? But I think it's a big deal with no travel and to be at home.
I think it's the no travel thing for Miami is exactly the point. That's where it helps more than maybe the 60-40 being there for Indiana in favor of that
incredible
fan base.
The Bear Felica was on earlier. People with club suite tickets forever can't get tickets to the game.
Yeah, but what do you say, upper deck going for four dimes?
$4,000 for bad seats. Oh.
Wow. I'm trying to think if I would ever pay $4,000 for anything, like a sporting event, concert. I can't. $4,000?
Yeah, it's not even good seats.
No, I mean, no way.
It's like NBA Game 7 type stuff where it's, 20 grand to sit in like the first two couple rows. I mean,
I have absolutely no interest in ever going to a Super Bowl and watching the game there. I would much rather be in Las Vegas at home or a sports book.
Yep.
And I don't want to deal with that crowd and the nonsense that comes with it and the corporate spectacle.
Yeah, it took people two or three hours to get into the stadium, too, tonight.
Sure. Now, like this weekend, though, for example, I'd love to go to a title game sometime, NFC, AFC. I think that'd be great.
Yes.
Because those are on home fields, obviously. You can sit at a bar and watch the other game early, late, whatever. I think that'd be phenomenal. But Super Bowl, God, no. No desire.
All right. Both teams to score every quarter, 8-1. Field goal each quarter, 10-1. Each team has a touchdown and a field goal in each half, 30-1. Touchdown and field goal each quarter, either team, 30-1. Each team touchdown in each quarter, 40-1. Some of the specials at Will Hill.
Well, the more I think about it, that 3 in the first quarter from Miami feels like a good bet.
Or 10, under 10?
Well, I like the 3 more because you would think here again, Miami, if they win the coin toss, they're going to want the ball. You would think because Lucas is out again on defense.
Yep. Longest touchdown under 41.5 yards. Miami -3.5 +410. Indiana, 22 or more, 5-1. Indiana by 3-18 +525. Will a team score 40 points +360? These I like at DraftKings. Interesting. Miami wins, both teams score 20, 5-1. Miami wins, both teams score 30, 16-1. Indiana wins, both teams score 30, 10-1. But total on is 47 now, 47.5. And I think it's correlated. I can't see Miami winning a high-scoring game or, if it's like 33-30. Indiana.
I mean, the point spread's not absurd. It's not like a 14-point favorite tonight. It's not like Ohio State beating Miami 20-plus years ago. That was a double-digit spread, if I recall correctly. I honestly, I don't even think this would be that big of an upset tonight if Miami wins.
Because, oh, I agree. Yeah, that's well said.
Right. If you go back before the Big Ten title game, right, now I guess you don't have those Miami wins, but neither did Indiana, the win over Ohio State, and they certainly did not have those blowout wins that they're coming in with over Oregon and also Alabama. So I think people are just expecting that same team to show up again, like it's, hey, we're going to wake up, get out of bed, go there with our A-plus game and win by 40 points. That's not, they made it look easy, but it's not. And to do it over and over and over again certainly cannot be easy.
Good crowd here. They're coming in. And you see it's being treated like a Super Bowl game where the money lines shrunk. South Point went from plus 280, now plus 250 on Miami. The biggest price on Miami to win is now plus 260 at Fanatics, 250 at Caesars. The lowest price on Indiana is at the Westgate, minus 290, 293 at Circa. So for all you people with the big tickets out there and the hedging, how you want to play that?
What would
a spot
you do
to be in if you're Felico or if you're these people with these Indiana tickets as well?
So for people right now who are tuning in just to this segment, and you might have big futures on Indiana, or check that, on Miami, figuring out a way to hedge this ticket. Chris the Bear Felica did come on an hour and a half ago. By the way, if you missed it, you can always go back and listen to the Follow the Money podcast wherever you get it. He said that he did a cross-sport parlay with Indiana on the money line, Yannick Sinner to win the Australian Open, and Arsenal to win the Prem. To cut it down from that, you know, 320, 350 range where it was. Yeah, because he was, again, he was on Miami from the get-go this year and adding throughout the season, and he was telling us the price that he has on those tickets. He mentioned a 60 to 71 ticket on them. Also, like on Selection Sunday, he grabbed, I think he said, what, 150 to 1? So, and he actually said that he thinks he's confident they're going to win the game, but this is more about monetizing that ticket or those tickets on Miami futures than actually have an opinion on the game whatsoever. So it's just, you know, if, as you've said forever, if you're walking on the street and somebody, you know, you see $5,000 on the sidewalk, are you going to pick it up? Of course you are. So that's, he wants to just make sure that he comes out smelling like roses tonight.
Does Miami score 20 points?
No, because I think it's going to be, well, I'm thinking about betting alt-unders again.
Okay.
Like a 17-14 type of game, 14-13, something like that. And that's the kind of game that I want. I want where every offensive possession means something. Points are going to be at a premium. And I want the defenses to stand on their head tonight and just make plays left and right. And that's, I haven't bet it like that yet, but that's what I've been pondering here.
Oh, they got a longest made field goal up. 41.5. Yeah, 41.5 is the longest made field
overall.
Goal. That's interesting. Wow.
Well, you have an hour to dig in.
A total made field goals, 2.5, under minus 170.
Oh, man, I could, 3 is plus money?
Yeah.
With these defenses?
A good price. Okay.
I don't hate that at all. Where's that at?
That's at DK, too.
That's at DK, huh?
Yeah. I'll see if Caesars has something during the break.
3 plus field goals is plus money? Man, oh, man, that is, that's tempting. That's tempting.
Both teams to score 15 points, $1.60. Both teams 20, $1.45. 2-point conversion, 3-1. And what do we got for a largest lead? 17. Oh, 17's your largest lead.
That is Indiana turning out. People betting that over think they're going to turn on the afterburners. We'll recap our action from the weekend and give you our best bets coming up in Pocket Place here on VSiN.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I'll bet you 20 bucks I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3 to 1 odds.
Nope.
5 to 1.
Nope.
10 to 1.
You're right.
All right, who's going to be the long shot this week? 400 to 1 Kirk, 250 to 1 Mims, most receiving. In 4 games, 2 go to overtime. Unbelievable weekend again. Adunze over a winner. All teams to have a rushing touchdown. No good. All teams where we had points in every quarter. Third quarter of the, unbelievable. Third quarter of the Rams and Bears, nothing. That was stunning. So the plus 130 loses. McCaffrey, he got hurt. The stinger, his props were no good. Cooks falls short, two catches, couldn't go over. Broncos pick, rocking chair winner. Marks, never had a chance. Great job by the Patriots run defense. They were phenomenal. Houston running backs, 18 carries, 31 yards. Charger running backs, 12 carries, 30 yards. And Puka, 25 yards each half. No good as well. Patriots all the way, all around the world, all good. First half game, first half money line winners. McCaffrey over reception, no good. Swift over rushing, winner. Swift, 5 yards each quarter, winner, plus money. And Williams, 5 yards each quarter, winner. We lost the plus 650 by a yard. McVay gave Williams the ball twice in the second quarter. Incredible. Tonight, Fletcher over 68.5 rushing yards. And the backup, Brown, who had a good game against Ole Miss and a touchdown, over rushing 24.5. Cooper Kupp, have 25 yards, $1.60 against the Rams. And right back, Patriots first half. Oh, you're killing me. There's a 2.5 out there. Okay, Patriots first half continues. 16-3 ATS, 17-1-1 on the money line. We'll see what Stidham's made up Sunday. Good luck.
Back at you, Paulie. All right, the Franklin bets, or the bet, over 2.5 catches. He was 14-3 on the year. Did not have one in the game. Got hurt.
When did that happen?
Immediately.
And then the Bryant.
No, the Bryant thing happened. Yeah. He's 3 on the first drive.
Yeah. He was 16-1. That 25 yards each half. He had 3 for 32 right away.
Well, yeah, evidently he was going to have 29 targets in the game.
Yeah, right.
So that was no good with Franklin. Maxie, this is a Friday night. Maxie over 8.5 points in the first quarter. That was a loser. Patriots minus the 3 came in. McLaughlin, anytime for pizza money, did not. Going back to, again, last Friday, Trey Murphy over 2.5 threes, minus 125. I would bet that every single time at that number. Big bet on the Bears, plus 4.5. Got there. Bills pick 'em against the Broncos.
No problem. No sweat with the Bears.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, man. How does that happen? How do you give that up if you're the Rams?
Well, honestly, I should have been 1-1 in the Bears game and the Bills game, but it should have been reversed.
Right.
I think, anyway.
It's the last play of the game. He's fourth down. He's running backwards 20 yards, and it's 1-on-1 coverage?
Mm-hmm.
I retweeted the play. Stacey Dales, it happened right in front of her, and Komet comes right up and starts screaming in the camera. I can't believe that, and the reaction from the Bears fans.
Almost a delayed reaction, because they couldn't believe it either.
No, I know.
He's got separation by like 4 yards in the end zone.
It's a great call by Tirico.
How it is.
I thought they're going to do it again. I got to go for the win there. I got to go for two. When that happens,
yeah, Ben Johnson did talk about after the game how the short yardage stuff was not there. Didn't like it. But anyway, so Caleb, I think that was the longest pass ever for a touchdown, being that many yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Was he 26 yards behind the line of scrimmage?
Yeah.
Chucks it up, has him, and then he makes just a bad pass. Oh, God, what was that in overtime? Regardless.
Is that the Moore play?
Yeah. Moore gave up on the play the way it looks.
Yeah, he talked about it today. I wasn't on the same page with Moore.
Yeah.
This miscommunication stuff can't happen. That was big.
Tonga Saturday night, easy peasy, over 34.5 receiving yards. Other bets. The Walker-Charbonnet combo at 125-plus yards in the game got there. That was all Walker-Charbonnet got hurt. And, all right, Harry Hall finishing the top 10.
Hey, Harry.
Plus 325 over the weekend. Total bets here for tonight. I'm on Fletcher's attempts over 16.5 in the game. Gone over this number last three times they've taken the field.
You think that's better?
I think he's going to be a big part of the game.
Well, I know that, but maybe attempts more so than yards.
Yeah, because there's an angle here where he could, I guess, have. I hope we both win, obviously, but he could have 17 carries for 60 yards and a touchdown. I don't know. In Miami, first quarter plus 3. This is all over the map. Some books are 1.5. I'll take the 3. I'll take plus 3 here with Miami minus 120 in the game in the first quarter. Again, thinking if they win the coin toss, they're going to take the ball. This is all in theory. there's no Lucas on defense, and then Cignetti could defer, obviously, keep up with that, and I'll have that field goal in pocket anyway.
Good, Adam. Reaching people's easy, reaching the right people's everything. Mission Media helps your brand do exactly that with cross-platform strategies that reach sports fans whenever they're watching or listening to podcasts, connected TV, streaming, and digital, and become Mission Media's the exclusive advertising partner for VSiN. Get access to one of the most loyal, engaged, and bet-ready audiences in the country. People who respond, engage, and convert. Get started at VSiN.com/advertise or email advertising@VSiN.com. Halfley to the Dolphins. McDermott out. Bean not only retained, promoted to president. Charbonnet out for a long time. Torn ACL. NFL news today. It will not stop. It's phenomenal.
So the Charbonnet thing will linger how far into next year then?
Good question.
An ACL.
That's tough.
I mean, my God, today is January, what, 19th? Can he be ready for week one? That seems dicey.
No. I say no.
So Kenneth Walker, you know what? I said this on the air earlier. I wanted to give this to Luke as well for in pocket.
Oh, yeah, MVP?
I got Kenneth Walker at 15-1 now.
Okay, good.
Now, people can come back and say, well, the time to bet him is actually before the Niners game. Okay, now we have confirmation. Charbonnet's now out.
Sam Darnold is unbettable. That's ridiculous.
I'm not going to bet him.
The guy threw for 120 yards.
Right.
He can't be plus 250.
So I think the angle here for the Seahawks, if they win the Super Bowl, guys I want to be on. Boy, the person who gave this to us in the pizzeria bets on Shahid at like 130-1 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Awesome number.
Yeah.
He's down to like 30. Shahid is a guy I want. Walker's a guy I want. They're going to have like two or three defensive players that I'm probably going to be looking at as well. Because they could win the game, and the offense doesn't necessarily have to do much.
Williams, a couple sacks.
Sure.
Fumbles and recovery, forces some fumbles.
Lawrence will be, I think, popular as a bet.
Let's just get a good game tonight, too.
Yeah, that's please, yes.
We've had a run of blowouts. But it's nothing worse than to end the season. It's not a competitive game.
Yeah, I concur with that. Do you want any New York Knicks now? They're down by 23.
No, they're not getting stops.
Yeah, 4:45 to play in the third quarter. They're plus 13.5 for the game.
What's the in-play total?
228.5. Want to go under that? They're going to get a punt in the fourth quarter?
No, I still think they'll look at Marshall at 19. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I still think they'll get what they want and be a high-scoring game. Who knows? Maybe they continue to make a run and don't quit till 3 minutes left. I don't know. I still think there's going to be points scored.
I'll say this right now because you might want to just take a peek at the overnight numbers that come out tonight. The Utah Jazz are down by 13 on the road against the Spurs today. Now, this is a day game. Obviously, it's MLK Day. I'll give you their schedule. Now, they've gotten blown out a lot lately, so that's no good. I didn't want to see that. I was hoping that they would play their asses off on this road trip. But if you go back a week ago from today, they won at Cleveland. 2 days later, they lost a heartbreaker at Chicago. A back-to-back, they got blown out at Dallas, played the Mavericks again on the road on Saturday, got smoked yet again. Tonight's game in San Antonio. So that's five games in a week, all on the road. They're down by 13 right now. Then they go back home tomorrow and host the Timberwolves. It is, in theory, a phenomenal Malinsky special. But the Timberwolves are also going to be gigantic favorites. So I'd look at it tonight. If you see early books that come out with like first quarter stuff, first half stuff, the only look to me would be Minnesota if the numbers are right.
Edmonton's at home tomorrow. Connor McDavid, shots on goal prop, 12 straight overs at home. Mikhail Sergachev.
Did it again this weekend.
21-1 overrun. He's a defenseman for Utah. 21-1 overrun. 1.5 shots on goal. Usually in the $1.40 range.
Uh-huh.
Great job, Jonathan Davis. Every ticket cashes the same. Those are good nuggets.
I'll tell you another one that got there again. Brock Purdy, INT. Big game against a good defense. They're going to be swarming. That was too easy.
I don't recall.
Oh, $1.50 in that range?
Oh.
I made the case for him in the game before that against the Eagles. Really good defense. Going to be throwing the ball probably a lot.
Yeah. How about that? All these teams that were so good all year, taking care of the ball and winning in the first two rounds, exact opposite.
Exactly right.
Bears -5. Houston had the second fewest takeaways, giveaways. They were awful. What was 7 turnovers in two games for one player?
I was appalled by C.J. Stroud yesterday.
Yep. I'm with you.
All right, primetime's next. We're going to hang out for a little bit with Murray and Humans, and they're going to take you all the way through the national title game tonight with live betting.